Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional studies based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art, Father. We thank you for this privilege and opportunity to fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have your very inspired, infallible, inerrant words in this good old King James Bible. As we open them today, we pray for the Holy Spirit of God, who move holy men of old to write, to jot down your words, Lord. We pray that he would be our guide and teacher today, Lord. And Father, we pray these lessons, these studies would be an encouragement for the saint of God listening. Strengthen them, build them up in the things of thee, Lord, and help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we also pray for the lost soul that may be listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ's shed blood and nothing else to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the very day, from a heart of faith, that they would believe that Jesus died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save them from going to a sinner's hell. And Father, we will rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, we commit this time into thy hands. We ask you to have your will and your way in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. And in chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 8. So let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 8. And of course, Jesus is speaking here. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If we were to put a title to this passage, we could possibly call it Heartfelt Blessedness. Heartfelt Blessedness. This title comes from an expression of a great preacher of the past. In expressing his relationship with the Lord, he said, it was the heartfelt blessedness arising from a conscious union with the Son of God. I begin by asking this question. Does your relationship with Christ produce that? Does your relationship with Christ produce that? In this 15th chapter of John, there are four verses, all speaking of this union with Christ. Number one, branches. Verse 5, we read this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Number two, friends. All of these verses, these four verses, speak of the union with Christ. Number two, friends, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Third, servants, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And number four, witnesses, verse 27. Ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So in this 15th chapter of John, these four verses that we just looked at all speak of this union with Christ. This blessedness could be further expressed because of the relation or the results of this relationship. As branches, we live in Him. As friends, we joy in Him. As servants, we work for Him. As witnesses, we speak for Him. There is a heartfelt blessedness in all of this. But with it comes the fourfold questions. Number one, do we weld as branches? Do we weld as branches? Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. A branch is welded to that vine, and there is no separating. This is the all-important fact in the Christian's life. Are you sure there is a connection between you and the Lord? Number two, do we walk as friends? Do we walk as friends? Jesus said, I have called you friends. The prophet of old has asked, how can two walk together except they agree? To walk with my Lord, I must not be in opposition with his wishes or his blessed will. I must walk with him as a friend. Number three, do we work as servants? Do we work as servants? Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Paul, the great apostle, counted it a privilege to be a servant of his Lord. A servant is obedient to the master's command. We are not our own, but we have been purchased with a great price. Therefore, we should always be in obedience. And number four, do we witness as witnesses? Do we witness as witnesses? Jesus said, and ye also shall bear witness, and ye shall also bear witness. If I have declared my relationship with Christ, then I am a witness for him. I should witness of his saving power. I should witness of his satisfying grace. I should witness of his securing hand. Heartfelt blessedness. You see, Christians are not happy today because they are not walking, they're not working, they're not witnessing as his word says. Sinners are missing this blessedness because they are outside of Christ. Amen. Let's look now in John's Gospel, chapter 15 again. And this time we'll look at verses 13 through 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. We read this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I have made known unto you. There are three tremendous titles given to us in chapter 15 of John's Gospel. These titles are not empty titles. The Lord Himself, in fact, is the author of each of them. First of all, we have, as branches we receive, in verse 5. As branches we receive. We read this in verse 5 of John 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You see, the branch cannot live apart from the vine. We cannot live until we, as branches, have been broken off the old fruitless Adam stock and grafted into him who is the second Adam, the true vine. Amen. Number two, the second title, as disciples we follow. As disciples we follow. In verse 8, John's Gospel, chapter 15, we read this. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Fruit bearing is an indication that we are following our Lord. The branch must follow the vine in order to bear fruit. Amen. The third title is, as friends we hear. As friends we hear. In verses 14 and 15, chapter 15 of John, we read this. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. To be called a friend of Jesus is worth more than all the world could put together. Amen. Now, as we look again at our text, we see just what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Again, Jesus said, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. As we look back in the previous chapter and see what Jesus heard of the Father, we see that he made it all known unto us. There are so many great and precious things, but let us consider five of these. The first one is this. He made known the wonder of the Father's house. He made known the wonder of the Father's house. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This is what makes heaven so real. Because Jesus heard it from the Father and made it known to us. He added that these words, if it were not so, I would have told you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we read this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Jesus didn't make known everything about heaven because we just couldn't comprehend it. But we know enough that we are sure we don't want to miss it, amen. We know the size of it, the material of it, the things that will be there, and the things that won't be there. And this is all revealed in the book of Revelation, amen. Now the second thing we want to look at is he made known the way to heaven. Jesus made known the way to heaven. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, John chapter 14 verse 6, we read this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When Jesus had told the disciples about his Father's house, that there was a way to the place where he was going, Thomas spoke up and said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? The answer that Jesus gave clears the way and disposes of all questions. There was and still is one way, my friend, and Jesus, yes, Jesus is the way. He is the only way to heaven. It's not a question as to whether what we believe is right or wrong. We can just believe what Jesus said because he heard it from the Father and made it known to us. Jesus didn't say anything about a denomination, a religious organization, or any religious activity. He just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Number three, Jesus made known the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus made known the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus said this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The disciples didn't understand all about this promise at the time Jesus spoke these words. But on the day of Pentecost, they experienced it, amen. The promise of the Father was fulfilled as the disciples met in that upper room. If we would just listen to what the Lord said about the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have to get all mixed up and confused. Jesus heard it from the Father, and he has revealed it unto us. For the believer, the Holy Spirit is the comforter that abides forever. Amen. Jesus declared that when the Holy Spirit came, he would reprove the world of sin, and for every sinner who would believe, he would indwell for time and eternity. Number four, Jesus made known the wealth of the hallowed peace. Jesus made known the wealth of the hallowed peace. In John chapter 14, John 14 verse 27, we read this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that Jesus spoke of was not the kind the world seeks for. But Jesus said the peace he was authorized by the Father to give was his peace. In order to understand the full meaning of this, we must follow the Lord in all his ministry in all his persecutions, in all his reproaches, in all his sufferings, to see the kind of peace he possessed. The kind of peace Jesus had through all of us. He knew he was in the Father's will. And it was just working out a divine plan. Therefore, he could face Calvary with peace. This world has never known that kind of peace. That is why the world is on the verge of collapse. The Christian can lift up their head and sing, "We're safe till the storm passes by." Finally, number five, Jesus made known the will of the Heavenly Father. Jesus made known the will of the Heavenly Father. In John chapter 15, verse 5, John 15, verse 5, we read this. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus revealed the Father's will for our lives as Christians, and that is to be fruit bearers. A fruit tree will produce fruit of his own kind. A Christian should produce another Christian. From that early church that started in Jerusalem until this day, the Father's will is the sharing of our faith with others and winning others to the Lord. Paul said that the crown of his rejoicing was in the souls he had won to Christ. Amen. A friend called Jesus. Let me remind every lost soul of one tremendous verse for you. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for all of us. Amen. For all of us. Now let's turn as we continue our lessons based on the Gospel of John to chapter 16. Chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. And we'll begin reading in verses 1 through 4. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Jesus had delivered a tremendous message in the previous chapter concerning the union between himself and the church. Jesus put the disciples straight on the fact that a friend of the world is no friend of God. Then Jesus reminds them again of the coming of the Holy Spirit to testify of the Son of God. Beginning in chapter 16, Jesus gives us a twofold reason why he had been so straight, sincere, and uncompromising in his message. In verse number 1, he said, "These things have I have spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Verse number 4, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." Every time the Word of God is read, quoted, or preached, it has a twofold purpose. The writer of Hebrews said it was quick and powerful. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." For that reason, the word of God fulfills the twofold purpose. Number one, that you not forsake. That you not forsake. In verse 1, chapter 16 of John, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Jesus assured them that the reason for his firm message was that they would not be offended or forsake the truth. From the very beginning of time and the fall of man, God never intended that anyone should be confused concerning the great work of redemption. Man has taken the simple truths of God's word and twisted them around until he is confused and has everyone around him confused. A great astronomer for Princeton was delivering a lecture on the size of the earth compared to the rest of the universe. When he had concluded his lecture, a woman spoke up and said, "If our world is so little and the universe is so great, can we really believe that God pays any attention to us?" The astronomer replied, "That depends entirely on how big a God you believe in." All this confusion about the way of salvation is not God's fault. God has given in his word the plain, understandable way of salvation that everyone could understand and not be offended. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, in verses 30 to 31, we read this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The word is written that we are all born in sin. The word is written that we must all be born again. Second thing we want to see is we saw, number one, that you not forsake in verse 1. Number two, that you not forget, verse 4, in verse chapter 16 of John, we read this, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." Jesus was telling the disciples, if they didn't regard what he was telling them now, that there would come a time when they would remember his words. This came to pass many times in their lives. That dreadful night, when Peter denied the Lord for the third time and the rooster crowed, he looked at the Lord. The Bible says he remembered the words of Jesus. You may not respond to the message of salvation as you hear it preached. You may count it as nothing, pass it up, forget about it. But my friend, the word of God will not return void. One day you remember what has been preached to you. In John chapter 12, verse 48, we read this. John 12, verse 48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The very word of God that is preached for salvation now will, if rejected, be the witness against that person in judgment. The rich man in hell was called to remember the past and his lost opportunities to repent and be saved. Respond or remember. My lost friend, the word of God can do either two things. It can save you or condemn you from eternity. Which will be your choice? It is said that Spurgeon, the great preacher of the past, had preached to a tremendous crowd in one of the great halls of England. His subject was the name of Jesus. Before Spurgeon finished, his voice gave out and he tried ever so hard to recover, but all was in vain. Almost in a whisper, Spurgeon said, "Let my name perish, but let Christ's name last forever. Jesus, 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 crown him Lord of all." And then he fell back, almost fainting in the pulpit chair. You see, my dear friend, my name doesn't mean anything. My words are but vain. Yet the name of Jesus and his words are life everlasting. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. We've come to the end of the broadcast for today. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.